If you're a fan of the Resilient Recruiter podcast, I've got exciting news. I'm hosting a special event for recruitment business owners in London on September 17th and 18th, and I'd love you to join us. If you want to achieve your full potential, you need to surround yourself with the right people. At the Recruitment Coach Live Summit, you'll get to meet some of my podcast guests in person, hang out with us, and share ideas. Some of the folks I've interviewed on the show will either be attending or speaking at the summit. Early bird pricing is still available. Register now by visiting recruitmentcoach.com/summit.
The reason why video is booming is because literally LinkedIn tweaked the algorithm last year when they introduced the mobile feed. And it's also important to say that it's mainly vertical videos that perform very well. And also videos that are natively uploaded to LinkedIn. So please don't make the mistake to go to YouTube or Vimeo, because then it becomes an external link post. But native videos vertically optimized for mobile, they get a huge push in the back from the algorithm.
Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Whitby, and today I'm super excited to be joined by Richard Vanderblom. Richard is the founder and CEO of Just Connecting, an internationally recognized agency delivering LinkedIn training and consultancy.
My journey on LinkedIn started in 2005, so I call myself a LinkedIn veteran. I started to become interested in the algorithm back in 2020 when we were working with some corporate clients, and they had some questions about, hey, why does one post perform and the other one doesn't perform? So that's where when we started on our own manually to research posts and to make screenshots every 15 minutes and analyze the difference. And it was pure madness.
Richard is a pioneer in social selling and LinkedIn strategy and the creator of the LinkedIn Algorithm Insights Report, which has been downloaded over 5 million times and has become a go-to resource for businesses and individuals who want to maximize their LinkedIn impact.
If you publish a selfie being at the beach and you reflect on an experience you had, personal storytelling, it works. It actually adds. If I'm going to talk about a recruitment process, a very theoretical thing, and I publish a selfie, LinkedIn goes like, wait, this is an educational post, but a selfie doesn't match, and it actually harms the reach of your post.
Since 2010, Richard has trained over 300,000 professionals and transformed the LinkedIn strategies of over 1,000 companies globally, including companies like Nestle, Capgemini, Salesforce, PwC, and others. He's been recognized by Forbes and Business Insider and is highly sought after as a keynote speaker. He's spoken all around the world, Austin, Buenos Aires, Marrakesh, London, Paris, Dubai, and beyond. But really, fundamentally, Richard is dedicated to helping businesses achieve measurable results on LinkedIn. You can learn more about his work at richardvanderblom.com. We'll include the link in the show notes. Richard, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Wow, Mark, thank you for this wonderful introduction. It seems like I've been very busy in the last few years.
Yeah, I'll say. We'll talk about that if we have time, about the work-life balance thing, because I'm in the same position. So I want to tell the audience that how we know each other, because I'm a member of your private community. You have a community and LinkedIn training platform called The Tribe. I've been a member of that for a few years, which is just brilliant in terms of leveling up my skills and strategies when it comes to LinkedIn, and it's definitely benefited me. And I have also purchased your LinkedIn Algorithm Insights Report 2025, which is absolutely awesome. It's like, and that's why I wanted to get you on the show. It's 250 pages of just really in-depth insights and advice to help creators get better results on LinkedIn. And it's not just there's a lot of opinions, right? There's a lot of LinkedIn experts who share their opinions on how to, you know, increase your visibility on LinkedIn, but this is backed by real data. So I just wanted to set the scene for people so they understand the value of this conversation. Richard, how do you collect and analyze the data to produce these really detailed conclusions?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right when you say that there are like a huge number of LinkedIn experts, and many of them share really insightful stuff about how to become more successful on LinkedIn, how to use LinkedIn for business growth, and also about the algorithm. My journey on LinkedIn started in 2005, so I call myself a LinkedIn veteran. But I started to become interested in the algorithm back in 2020 when we were working with some corporate clients, and they had some questions about, hey, why does one post perform and the other one doesn't perform? So that's why when we started on our own manually to research posts and to make screenshots every 15 minutes and analyze the difference, and it was pure madness. And I was very happy to have a group of students that were willing to help me, together with a friend who is a professor in market research and statistics. And it was more like a hobby project, and we produced a 7-page document that I shared with my clients back 2020, and they were very, very enthusiastic about it. They were like, hey, this works, and finally we get to see. And it was, again, only 7 pages. And then one of my team members said, like, why don't you create a post and see what happens? So I created a post, I shared this on publicly, and it was my best performing post 2020. It got over 600,000 views. People had a lot of questions. So that was when I realized that in order to become successful on LinkedIn, many of us are looking to get more visibility for their content, obviously. It still didn't struck. And then I think 8 months later, I got people coming back to me and say, Richard, are you going to do a research again this year? And that was when I got like, hey, wow, if I do this every year, you know, you can make comparisons and you can see trend lines. So we did it again in 2021. It was still manually done. It took us like, I can't even remember the hours, but I think my team spent over 3,000 hours. And we created a 20-page document, fast forward to 2025. And now we partner with AuthorUp.com, which is a LinkedIn content creation tool. They have around 70,000 users of the platform. And because we partner with them, we can use their data combined with our own data. And we have become much better because we still analyze around 300,000 posts manually. But the vast majority, 1.2 million, 1.3 million posts, comes via AuthorUp, which means that they are based on stats, facts, but also on a sample size that makes it even a more trustworthy research. Because with all good intentions, I see a lot of people sharing their own algorithm research where they go, I analyzed my latest 100 posts and this is what works, this is what not works. And
That's better than nothing, right?
But no, and I think those posts are really great insights and people can really learn from it. But you cannot draw conclusions on the generic LinkedIn algorithm based on the only post from one creator or so that's where we want to make a difference. And I think you call it just a 250-page inside document. My team now calls it 250 pages pure madness.
Okay. Well, definitely you are the authority when it comes to understand the algorithm and how we can use that insight in order to get better results on LinkedIn. So look, I want to dive straight in because I know your time is limited today. Could you walk us through one or two of the most surprising insights from this year's algorithm playbook that recruiters absolutely need to know? Like, what has changed in 2025 compared to last year? In fact, let me lead with this one, because your insight report confirmed something that me and our clients had kind of felt, but we didn't know if we were going crazy, and that is a decline in organic reach. You know, we felt like we're producing better and better content, but the results don't, like in terms of impressions and so on, don't seem to reflect that. It looks like in some cases we're losing ground. And I even heard Greg Savage complaining about this. He did a post saying that his visibility is tanked. Which could be quite discouraging, but could you maybe speak a little bit about the decrease in organic reach, and then we'll pull out some more insights after that?
Yeah, I think it's spot on to talk about this. And also that you say that the insights report confirmed some of the things you saw, and that always gives me the feeling that we're on the right track. The more people say, hey, this confirms or this explains, or now I feel more relax because it's not just me, because in all honesty, it can be very frustrating. I've had content-wise, not business-wise, but content-wise, I've myself had a very frustrating year on LinkedIn, because just like you, I know my content is spot on. I've grew my followers over 200,000, so I should have more and more reach, and I'm on minus 60% myself. So that's huge. So what we discovered, and although LinkedIn doesn't communicate a lot about the LinkedIn algorithm, they did communicate last year around this time, it was May, June, when their head of product development said that LinkedIn was going to tweak the algorithm to discourage people from going viral, but to empower people to create more impact. And they literally said, that means we're going to show your post to less people, but to more relevant people. And I think this is something that our research confirmed, because on general, in general, 95% of people on LinkedIn have witnessed a severe decrease in reach. There are always people that go, Richard, I don't recognize it because my content has never performed better. Well, you know, there are always 5% that do things differently, or maybe they have a bit of a push in the back by the LinkedIn. I don't know, but 95%, so the majority, have seen a decrease in reach that varies from -35% to even -70%. On the same hand, a lot of those people have more or less, including myself, the same engagement. So much less reach, but still the same number of likes, comment, repost. And that would actually prove that LinkedIn has actually tweaked the algorithm to get less reach, but by showing it to more relevant audience, still get a fair high number of engagement, because when it's more relevant, people tend to comment more early or tend to repost your content. It has become more difficult to get big numbers of reach. It also, follower growth has slowed down substantially. I think, and I really would like to emphasize, it's not about reach. It starts with engagement. It starts with how many conversations you get based on your content. And eventually, it starts with how many relevant incoming invites, incoming messages, and conversion signals you get from LinkedIn. But reach definitely has gone down. Organic reach, definitely.
Yes. Okay, so that's super interesting. I think your report said, like, on average, it's declined by 50%. But then you emphasize this point of relevance over reach. So knowing that that is an intentional change that LinkedIn are making, what does that mean for creators who, you know, are you saying that, well, first of all, it's reassuring to know that it's not just me and it's not just individuals, but that's affected even everyone, including you. But are you saying that because the content, maybe LinkedIn has refined its distribution so that it's showing it to less people, but more relevant people. Like, what is the real impact of that for us as creators and as business people? And are there any changes to our, you know, strategy or behavior that we need to make to adjust to that?
Yeah, I think there are a few things we need to consider. First of all, it has become more and more important that before you publish your post on LinkedIn, you need to ask yourself, what is my primary goal of this post? Let me give you an example. If I want to increase my visibility amongst the network that already knows me, so I'm talking first degree connection, I'm talking followers, personal storytelling posts where I share experience, maybe included with a video or a selfie, perform really well. Because the algorithm now is trained on whenever you share something personal, LinkedIn mainly shows it to a network that already knows you. So the increase outside your bubble is almost none. Okay, so that's why you get a lot of engagement on personal stories, because people already know you and it resonates with them. If I want to have impact or more reach outside my bubble, I need to go to educational content. Whenever I go to educational content where I share, let's talk in terms of recruitment. If I share 4 tips how to get hired in 2025, that's educational content, which the algorithm of LinkedIn is trained to push beyond the boundaries of your network. So you see on those kind of posts that you get less engagement, but you get more reach because it travels outside your bubble. If you have conversion as your primary goal, and in the world of recruiters, that could, for example, be I'm creating a post, I'm sharing a link to a job posting on my website. So you have an external link. And we all know that that reduces reach, but my conversion maybe is not reach. My goal is to get people to click on the link to watch the job posting, maybe to, you know, apply for a job. So that means that every now and then having external links, if your goal is conversion, is absolutely spot on. To give you an example, this last week I created an infographic that had 60,000 views, which is above average because it was educational. And I saw that a majority of engagement came from outside my network, secondary connections. Later this week, I shared a post with a link because my goal was conversion. I wanted people to check a link and to check if this was something that they would love to have. And I only got 6,000 views, which is like, it's like 15% of my infographic. However, I got massive conversion. I got massive, like I reached my goal. So I think reach should not be the central point of our content strategy. It should be, what is my goal? And based on your goal, you adapt the format of the content, the length of the content, and also the visuals or the type of content you want to share. That's the most important thing.
Okay. This is really a good distinction. So when you're planning your and creating your content, Richard, what are the objectives that you optimize for? Obviously, one is conversion, as in the example with the link. One is reach outside your network, where you're going to educational content. You also mentioned engagement within your first degree network. Are there any other objectives that you would select for?
Yeah, I always like to point it a bit differently because then people really understand how I do it. So one of my goals is thought leadership.
Okay.
So thought leadership is one of my goals. If I want to have thought leadership, I need people from outside my already known network to see my educational post. So thought leadership goes with educational because that means I am being positioned amongst my target audience. Another goal is I want to humanize my brand. I want to become very approachable. So if people have a question, if people want to know whether they can book me for an event or whether our trainings or the tribe community is suitable for them, I want them to understand how easy it is to reach me. So in order to humanize your brand, you need to have your personal stories, because the more people get to know you, the more easy it becomes for them to, you know, send you the first message. Then I want to be seen as... I want to have conversion. So with conversion, you need to have posts that demonstrate your activities, your projects. So what are you working on? So that in my case could be I'm preparing a keynote, or I create a video about a keynote I gave. So when people see what you are doing, they also understand how they can become a client of yours. And then I want to grow my communities. I want to grow my follower base, because if you grow your follower base with the right audience, you grow your impact. And for that, I publish about industry trends. So what is happening in the world of sales? What is happening in the world of B2B marketing? How you can, you know, leverage LinkedIn for those kind of goals. So those are actually my four pillars, but also my four objectives.
That makes sense. So for each post, you're just selecting which pillar does this belong to? And whether it's, so I've seen this in the algorithm report. So personal storytelling is one pillar, educational how-to content is another, achievements and activities, and then conversion or offers, and then industry insights. So those are your kind of five content pillars. So you would select like the mix that you want in a week of those different pillars, and then that will in turn dictate the style, the content, the visuals, and whether or not you use links and so on.
Exactly. In the report, it's not my content pillars, but it's the content pillars that 95% of successful authors have in their content strategy. And obviously, I'm using them as well. And what I would like to share with our audience, what I see still a lot of recruiters do on LinkedIn is that they create a lot of posts where they share job postings. So that means that you have a very your content strategy lacks dynamic. It's not dynamic. You know what I mean? It's always the same format. It's always the same goal. So whatever happens if you do that, and it's the same if you always publish videos or if you always publish external links. But if you if your content strategy is built on repetitive elements, you are getting less and less reach because LinkedIn values diversity. So I would really like to advise the recruiters that if you know that you're going to publish 2 or 3 job posts in a week, because that's basically your job, it's a must have that on the other days, you have different insights, different formats to make sure LinkedIn sees that you are, you know, have this diversity of content. And it also means that you get more eyes on your job postings as well.
Awesome. I'm so glad you said that. I agree 100%. Well, the first challenge is getting recruiters to post at all on LinkedIn.
Exactly.
But then when they start posting, the default or the comfort zone is I'm going to share jobs that I'm working on, right? And because that's a logical, but if that's all you're doing, you're missing out on 90% of the impact. So let's talk then about post format. So, I mean, the main types are image, text, or image and text, documents, videos, polls. The clear message I got from the algorithm report this year is that images are gaining steam, and in particular, video is really taking off. But that's good news to me because we share a lot of video content. Although, having said that, some of our clients do very well with text only. So shout out to Mike Williams, is one of our clients. His main format is text, and he gets a lot of visibility on those. So it's not that those don't work, but what do you see as being the ideal mix? If I want to have variety and I want to leverage all of different content types, where should I put my chips?
Yeah, that is depending on many elements. One of yours is obviously your personal favorite or your personal preference, because I can tell my clients, for example, you know, LinkedIn's algorithm is boosting videos, so you should record videos and publish videos. But if they don't feel comfortable, it doesn't fly. It doesn't work. And it's good to go outside your comfort zone, so it's good to try. But I have people literally coming back to me and say, Richard, I did some videos. They didn't perform well. I didn't feel comfortable. It was just not me. So I went back to text post or to text image post. The most important thing is that you realize that your content strategy in terms of format should be built on a minimum of 3 different formats. Okay, that's what LinkedIn values. We see that people who have, like, every time the same post, as I just mentioned, get substantial less reach. If I do a quick overview, text-only post, there's a very select group of people that are very successful with that format because it's a very difficult format. Because you don't have, first of all, you don't stand out in the feed. It's just 2 lines of text, and you compete with visuals, carousels, videos that have a large visual. So first of all, people really need to find you in the feed. Second, since it's only text-based, you need to understand how to not only get the attention, but also maintain the attention of your readers. And so it means that you need to be an awesome copywriter. So I don't know if the guy you just mentioned, example, has some amazing writing skills, but if you don't have amazing writing skills, I would never suggest to include text-only posts in your content strategy. I also see a lot of people coming from X, formerly Twitter, and using LinkedIn with short, like, text-only messages, which sometimes fly because instantly, but I will mention why they fly later on. Text plus image posts has always been a very successful post on LinkedIn. It's also what we call the default post, and it's also what a lot of people feel comfortable. In fact, 60% of all the posts being published on LinkedIn are a text with image, one or multiple images, because that's what we do. We write text, we include a picture, we hit post, job done. And, you know, you can use this post to not only position yourself as a thought leader, but you can use it for events, you can use it for educational when you have an infographic. So it's a very easy to use format. My personal favorite is what LinkedIn calls document posts. People often refer to those as carousel posts or PDFs, where you upload a PDF, it becomes a slideshow. And it's one of my personal favorite for the reason that you can combine visual with more process-related things. I can literally If I want to share something about the six stages of a successful recruitment process, I can literally have one visual, one slide per step. So it's easy to follow, easy to digest. Also very important, people love to save carousel posts, and saves will bring a lot of additional reach. So it's also a post that we love to save. The reason why video is booming is because literally LinkedIn tweaked the algorithm last year when they introduced the mobile feed, vertical feed. And it's also important to say that it's mainly vertical videos that perform very well. And also videos that are natively uploaded to LinkedIn. So please don't make the mistake to go to YouTube or Vimeo, because then it becomes an external link post. But native videos vertically optimized for mobile, they get a huge push in the back from the algorithm. And then one that is really underestimated, and I love to do it every now and then, are polls. Very few people use them. But if your goal is to have interaction with your audience, if your goal is lead generation, then a poll could be very, very interesting to use.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me just drill down a little bit on each of those. I'm conscious of time here because I could talk about this for hours with you. It's so interesting. So first of all, you're saying the default post should be text plus image. And I read in the report 700 to 900 words is kind of the sweet spot to maximize reach. Is that right?
Not words, characters.
Oh, characters. Okay,
characters.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Characters.
Okay, my mistake. 700 to 900 characters. Thanks for clarifying with the image. Now, you also said images of yourself. Well, first of all, images of humans and real humans, not stock images, but images of you, your team, you with your clients and so on are going to outperform. But you said images of yourself boost reach by 50%. So selfies really do work.
If combined with a post where the selfie makes sense. Let me give you an example. If you publish a selfie being at the beach and you reflect on an experience you had, personal storytelling, it works. It actually adds. If I'm going to talk about a recruitment process, a very like theoretical thing, and I publish a selfie, LinkedIn goes like, wait, this is an educational post, but a selfie doesn't match. And it actually harms the reach of your post. So when you use selfies, personal pictures, they need to go with posts where a selfie makes sense.
Okay, I'm so glad you shared that. That's a really, this is the nuance. This is the really, these key distinctions are valuable, Richard. So then for videos, they need to be vertical. So they're optimized for mobile and native. You can't just share a link to a YouTube video or a TikTok video.
You can.
Right. But it will perform better if you upload.
No, exactly. It will be completed. It will be treated completely different by the algorithm.
Okay. So I'd love to give a pro tip regarding polls because I like polls. I find them really useful because I learn about my audience and what their preferences and opinions are, which is valuable from a market research point of view. And B, it's the most kind of direct lead generation type of post because you are asking a question that you can then infer whether that person who voted is a match for what you offer. And then it also gives you an icebreaker if you're going to follow up and say, thank you for voting on my poll. You know, you said this, I'm curious to know more. And you can start a conversation. How do you guys use polls, or are there any best practices to maximize the real business impact of that?
Yeah, definitely. Because polls are not very easy to use. And I mean, easy to use if you want to have success, because it's very easy. You know, you ask a question, you give them options, go. A few mistakes people make that complain about poll not being a very effective format is that their question is too niche. I'll give you an example. If I start with a post and I say, for all CFOs, what is your thought on? I immediately exclude 99.9% on LinkedIn who are not CFOs or even more. You know what I mean? So there goes my volume, which means I get less voters, which means I get less reach, because every vote, and that's the incredible thing about polls. Every vote will bring you additional reach because it's an engagement with your post. They click on your post, additional reach. So first of all, your question should not be too niche. Second, your question should be very easy to answer. Because the moment we make people think or we confuse people whether they choose option A, B, they disconnect from the post. Okay. So I always teach people, for example, let me give you a small example, half a minute. I was working with a telecom company in the Benelux, and one of their clients were leisure theme parks, which we don't have a lot in the Benelux. It's I think it's 20 parks. And one of the poll questions was, how would you rate the usage of internet in your leisure park? And then, and I said to the guy who made the poll, I said, there are only 20 parks in the Benelux, so we only speak about 20 owners. With how many are you connected? And he said, well, half of them, 10. He said, so the max that people can answer is 20 and probably 10 if they see the post. Write them a postcard, give them a questionnaire, and you will reach them all. So I said, let's revoke the process. When visiting a leisure park with your family, on average, how many devices do you connect to the internet? So now it's not the park owners that will give us information on the use of internet, because it was about the usage of internet in the parks. Now, everyone who travels to a park and has a family goes like, oh, wait a minute, we have two iPhones, we have two tablets, we take a laptop, so it's five. And they got massive response by people saying how many devices. Now they took this answer, went to the park owners and said, hey, are you aware that on average people have eight devices that they will connect with your internet? Let's have a discussion. So this was one of the best examples where you need to rethink your audience, scale, make it very easy to answer, and there you have a lot of valuable data and conversation starters as well.
Richard, that is an awesome insight. And so I appreciate you sharing that very much. And I realize we're out of time for today. That's been super valuable. The main question I didn't get a chance to ask you, which maybe we'll say to be continued at a later date, is leveraging AI in producing content and what your own content creation process looks like. Because even built into LinkedIn is a feature now where it invites you to rewrite your post with AI. And I know that one of the sponsors of the Insight Report, which you mentioned earlier, is a tool that allows you to use AI to facilitate the content creation process. So I realize that's too big a question that we have time for today.
I can answer that, Mark, because it's okay. A good question. And I don't want to be the party pooper, at least early. okay. Because it's a very important thing, and it's also something, it's probably the most impactful trend when it comes to content creation at the moment, is the use of AI. So what we saw, we made a comparison between 100% humanly written content, 100% AI generated content, and what we call hybrid content. And I don't think it comes as a surprise that hybrid content performs best. And the reason why, we don't need to go into details about 100% AI-generated content, because we both know that it looks AI-generated, it's rubbish, and people who still publish that, and there are still a huge group of people who publish that, they really underestimate the intellect of their target audience, because we can smell AI-generated content from a mile distance, okay? So it's... You can tick the box that you created a post, but you will not tick any boxes of gold. So forget about that. Then, if you compare 100% humanly written content to hybrid content, we must confess that 99.9% of all LinkedIn content creators are not professional copywriters, including myself. That's not my business. I'm a sales guy, I'm a speaker, but I'm not a copywriter. So if you use AI to optimize your content, think about write more triggering hooks, write better endings, but also structuring your post. And for everyone who's not native English like me, make sure your grammar is correct. So if you take the best of yourself, and I can give you the insight of my content process, because I draft all my content from scratch. All my ideas, I draft them from scratch until I think, this is like the foundation of a new post. Then I go to my ChatGPT or my AI tools, and then I start like, you know, provide me with three possible hooks on this with this goal. Restructure this in this type of post. Think of a good call to engagement. And then I get like input. And then, very important, what I get, I don't publish. I edit it again, so it's still my post, and then I publish it. But since I'm doing that, I see that my engagement went up. I also feel more confident about my content because I don't need to, you know, think about, is it grammatically correct? Did I make a mistake? Is it well structured? So, and because I'm not a copywriter myself, like many of us, it really helps you to step up the level and quality of your content. And that's what also came from the report that, you know, hybrid content that is mainly written by humans but optimized by AI outperforms 100% humanly written content.
I love this. Hybrid content. So your process is human is the first draft. AI helps you with the structure, the opening hook, the call to action, and then the final polish is human again. So it's human, AI, human.
Yes.
I love that. What's interesting is, like, I've tried the LinkedIn AI writer, and you would assume that the LinkedIn AI writer already knows the algorithm and how to maximize reach, but it doesn't perform better to my posts, or especially if I'm using ChatGPT, which has been trained on my voice and with my target audience in mind, and it's got examples of my previous posts that have done well, that does better than the built-in LinkedIn AI tool.
Let me give you a secret for you and the audience.
Okay.
So first of all, AI is one of the spear points for LinkedIn in the upcoming 2 years, because LinkedIn, as you probably know, is a Microsoft company, and Microsoft has said AI is like top priority. Okay. So we are going to get and see a lot more AI features coming to the platform. At the moment, for example, if you are premium, you can also have AI rewrite your about section. The only goal, and maybe I'm too harsh now, but just the only goal that LinkedIn has when writing an about section is to make it more screenable, searchable, findable for recruiters, because that's their business model. So I can have this really personal story with all these emotions, but if I go to LinkedIn, they will just look at my work experience, at my education, and they come up with all keywords to make me more visible for recruiters, which is not my interest. And it's the same if you click rewrite my post. It's not connected to their algorithm because they don't want you to get a lot of reach. They want you to become more visible for people that they think are interesting / for people that are paying LinkedIn to get more data. So there is not a lot of synergy between your personal goals and LinkedIn goals when using, at the moment, AI features that LinkedIn provides us. And that's why I always go off-platform. I go to ChatGPT. I have my agents. I go to Perplexity, to a lot of AI tools that do a much better job in recognizing who I am, understanding my goals, and optimizing my content to, you know, obtain those goals with the right target audience. Because that's not what AI within LinkedIn at this moment does.
That is brilliant. And that I'm happy with that answer because I think I'm on the right track, and you've really confirmed that for me. Richard, thank you for your help. Like, this is the first time we've spoken, but you've actually influenced my work over the last few years. And that was a fun conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm up for a second one in a few months.
All right, let's do it. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Mark.
Have an awesome rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Resilient Recruiter. I know how busy recruiters are, so I'm honored that you're investing this time with me each week. I don't take your attention for granted. That's why I'm going all out to deliver value for you here, real insights you can apply to improve your business. And if you really want to help me to reach a wider audience and impact more people, please consider leaving the show a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you leave me a review, please reach out and let me know so I can thank you personally. Please hit the subscribe button, and I'll see you next time.